Well, you're not going to do that. You just said, okay, where are you? So you put that for the rule being. There.
Okay, we're on.
No, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin the hearing on docket TC07-117. In the matter of the petition of Mid-Continent Communications for approval of switched access rates. The time is approximately 9 a.m. The date is August 5, 2008, and the location of the hearing is in the Visitor Center, 650 East Capitol Pier, South Dakota. My name is Gary Hansen. I'm the Commission Chairman. With me today are Commissioners Steve Kolbeck and Dustin Johnson. I'm presiding over the hearing. The hearing was noticed pursuant to the Commission's order for and notice of hearing issued July 16, 2008. The issues at this hearing are the issues set forth in the order for and notice of hearing. These issues are hereby incorporated by reference. All parties have the right to be present and to be represented by an attorney. All persons testifying will be sworn in and subject to cross-examination by the parties. The Commission's final decision may be appealed by the parties to the State Circuit Court and State Supreme Court. John Smith, the Commission's counsel, will act as hearing examiner and will conduct the hearing subject to the Commission's oversight. He may provide recommended rulings on procedural and evidentiary matters. The Commission may overrule its counsel's preliminary rulings throughout the hearing. If not overruled, the preliminary rulings will become the final rulings. At this time, I'll turn the hearing over to Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. At this time, we'll take the appearances of the parties, and we'll begin with the petitioner.
Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, my name is Dave Gertis. I'm a lawyer from Pierre. And I'm with the law firm of May, Adam, Gertis, and Thompson in Pierre, representing Mid-Continent. I'd like to also introduce Jake Fisher, who is sitting to my left. Jake is a third-year law student from the University of Minnesota School of Law and has been interning with us this summer. Jake has indicated an interest in utility law, and so I asked him to come along because I knew this would be a scintillating experience for him.
Thank you, staff.
Thank you, Karen Kramer from staff.
At this time, are there any preliminary matters to come before the Commission before we commence the hearing proper?
Did you want to stipulate that FCC order at this time, or?
Yes.
We had discussed having the Commission take judicial notice of the FCC order that's frequently mentioned in everyone's testimony. Mr. Gertis has made a copy of it if we want it in the record. I did talk to Mr. Smith, and he said it need not be in the record because you could just take judicial notice of it. But whatever, if you would want a clean copy in as a part of the record, that's, I think you did get it marked.
It was not marked, but we can mark it.
So whatever your preference is.
I guess my feeling is it's a legal a document. I think we can recognize it even without taking judicial notice, but right now I'm going to take judicial notice of it unless there's an objection.
Mr. Smith, I don't have any objection. I just wonder if they've got a copy, if you can provide that to staff, and they can make a copy to the commissioners and say that he did it again.
Exactly, and anything that we take judicial notice of, I think would be beneficial if there is access through our website as well, so that we don't have to, and persons who have an interest in this hearing don't have to go on a long distance chase to try and find the information.
Thank you, and I can do that. I have it here myself. I have it in my, I've had it for years in my file, and I'll post it on the web immediately. With that, unless there are any other, let me ask you this, in terms of other exhibits, have any stipulations been reached among the parties, between the parties on those exhibits?
I think we can do so, but first I think, just for the record, I'd like to read the formal name of the FCC order so that we're all clear that what we're talking about.
By all means.
And that would be the seventh report and order and further notice of proposed rulemaking in CC docket number 96-262 in the matter of access charge reform, and it's identified as FCC 01-146.
Thank you. Please proceed, Mr. Curtis.
May it be stipulated that the Warren Fisher direct testimony exhibit 1, the Warren Fisher resume exhibit 2, the switched access cost study exhibit 3, which is a confidential document, the W. Tom Simmons direct testimony, which is exhibit 4, the August H. Ancombe direct testimony, which is exhibit 5, the CV of August H. Ancombe, which is exhibit 6, the dissent of Commissioner Harold Furchgott Roth, which is exhibit 7, may be admitted into evidence.
Does staff concur?
Staff would agree with Fisher direct. His resume is 2, the Simmons direct, the Ancombe direct, his resume is 6. We would not agree with Exhibit 3, the cost study, nor Exhibit 7, which is a dissent of a commissioner. And then staff has... three at this point would be Keith Sanger direct is 1, Keith Sanger rebuttal is 2. I guess at this point I would just put those two in. And then originally Keith Sanger, which is staff exhibit 1, was filed as confidential because both parties filed testimony at the same time. What we kept as confidential, they actually had in their public version. So I talked to Mr. Gertis this morning, and he agrees that it no longer, Sanger 1, no longer needs to be considered confidential.
And is are you suggesting that those two exhibits are stipulated?
Yes, you mean staff's too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No objection.
Okay, with that then, I will admit MIDCO 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and staff's 1 and 2. Have I covered the bases there? Apparently there is no stipulation on 3 and 7. Mr. Gertis, please proceed.
Call Tom Simmons.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God?
Would you state your name, please?
My name is W. Tom Simmons.
Where do you reside?
I reside at 2004 East 52nd Street, Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
And what is your occupation?
I'm the Senior Vice President of Public Policy for Midcontinent Communications.
If you would look at your pre-filed testimony, which is marked as Exhibit 4.
Thank you.
You have that there?
I do.
And I'll ask you if Exhibit 4 is, in fact, your pre-file testimony prepared by you.
It is.
Do you have any changes or additions or corrections to the testimony?
I do not.
If you were sworn and testified at length today as to the subject matter of that testimony, would it be the same as set forth in Exhibit 4?
It would.
Would you please summarize your testimony?
Well, first of all, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners Colbeck and Johnson, good morning. I want to express my appreciation for allowing us this opportunity to present to you today. This issue goes back quite a ways. As a part of the decision surrounding the waiver request made by LECA members back in May of 2005, Mid-Continent became increasingly aware of switched access rates and the wide variety of rates for varying companies. We frankly began to question whether our rates actually recovered costs comparable to those other companies. Currently, Mid-Continent switched access rates mirror those of Qwest, a very large company that enjoys a favorable economy of scales. We also compete directly with other CLECs who operate with substantially higher rates for systems virtually identical to those of Mid-Continent. Early discussion with Commission staff about rate parity with other CLECs met with some resistance. We believe that Mid-Continent was invited at that time to either wait for other CLEC renegotiations, a conclusion to the pending rulemaking proceeding, RM05002, or to go ahead and develop our own cost study. We opted to create our own company-specific cost study and enlisted the assistance of QSI, a well-known consulting organization. QSI completed the study in early 2007, joined us in a presentation to Commission staff in April of 2007, and we've continued to discuss the issue ever since. While discussions have continued with Commission staff, we've not reached an agreement that provides Mid-Continent with what we feel is our cost recovery and parity with the other competitors. So we come now to make our case before the Commission. And again, I thank you for that opportunity.
Does that conclude your summary of your testimony?
It does.
Tender for cross-examination.
Ms. Kramer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Does NITCO have the obligation of carrier of last resort?
We do not.
And what is NITCO's local service rate in Aberdeen?
Our local service rate in Aberdeen? I don't know. I don't have that information in front of me.
So do you know how your local rate compares to that of the Qwest local rate in Aberdeen?
Not specifically, other than the fact that most of our services are in fact provided as bundled services. Even the telephone service package that we provide compared with Qwest and also competitor Northern Valley Communications are very much the same. There are some differences and nuances, some differences in packages, and under some circumstances they offer better rates than we offer. In some cases we offer better rates than they offer. But as far as the specific dollar and cents comparisons, I don't have that list of information in front of me.
Can that be found on your website?
On their website?
On your website, your rates.
No, I don't believe so.
Who would know what your rates are?
Typically, the customers would contact us through our customer service department, and they would be presented a number of packages and options. And depending upon what the customer is looking for as a part of that, they'd be quoted the rate.
And I can't remember if you addressed this or not, but do you know how your rates compare to Northern Valley's local service rate in Aberdeen?
Again, I think we're very competitive as it stands now. In some cases, they may have better rates and packages than we have, and some we have better rates than they. But I believe our pricing with Northern Valley has always been very competitive.
So when you say they may have better prices or Midco may have better prices, you mean your rate may be lower in some instances?
In some instances, they may. In other instances, they may be higher.
Do you know what Midco's local rate is in Mitchell?
I don't. Again, subject to the same criteria that we have in Aberdeen.
Is Midco's telephony service provided over the company's cable TV legacy system?
Objection. This is a proceeding as to switched access costs and not as to these other charges.
Overruled.
The system, our telephone system services, for the most part, are carried over our full facilities service, much as is the service for Northern Valley in Aberdeen or the services for Mitchell Telecom in Mitchell.
And I would move to strike that answer as non-responsive. The question was simply, and I would prefer he answer my question, is Midco's telephony service provided over the company's cable TV legacy system?
Telephone services are provided over our full facilities system. It's a broadband network that carries the components of television, signals, internet, and telephone.
Midco only provides facility-based service in Quest Exchanges where it is the video provider. Is that correct?
That's not correct.
I believe that was, I took that out of your response to a data request.
We provide facilities-based services in Quest territories, but we also provide facilities-based service in a couple of ILEC territories as well.
Okay. Are telephony services now being offered in Vermilion and Yankton?
Yes.
Okay. Does Midco provide telephony services outside of city limits?
We do.
And how far out do you provide?
Just outside of city limits, typically to housing developments that are located just outside of the town. Some of those may be considered a part of the town, but they're outside of the city limits and outside of the jurisdiction of a cable franchise. But with rare exception, we provide services close to the communities. Some exceptions of that might be in all the contiguous areas south of Sioux Falls, for example, into contiguous areas like T and Harrisburg. Some of those circumstances exist in and around the Mitchell area and Aberdeen areas as well, and more predominantly in the Rapid City and Northern Hills area.
Is there any exchange where Midco provides service throughout the whole exchange?
No.
You've worked for Midco for almost 20 years, is that correct?
That's correct.
And you've appeared before this commission and worked with commission and staff on many occasions, is that correct?
Yes.
Is your employer Midcontinent Communications a for-profit entity?
It is.
Is it Midco's choice, or it is Midco's choice, to use GAAP accounting, is that correct?
Excuse me, I didn't. Could you restate the question?
It's Midco's choice to use GAAP accounting.
Yes, I believe so.
If you look at what's been marked, as Midco Exhibit 4.
Yes?
Okay, I would direct you to page 4.
I'm sorry, which exhibit?
And that's Midco Exhibit 4, and that's your direct testimony, isn't that correct, Mr. Simmons?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then in particular, I'm looking at lines 16 through 18, beginning with the word while. While is the last word on line 16. Could you read that sentence, please, out loud?
While other CLECs took advantage of the statewide average LECA Plus rate within the rules and were granted approval, Midcontinent has been denied.
What is the LECA Plus rate you are referring to?
Well, the LECA Plus rate as we understand it, is the rate that was established well in advance of the Telecom Act of 1996.
But what's the number?
12.5 cents.
And what time, in what CLEX have that LECA Plus rate?
I'm not sure that any CLECs have the LECA Plus rate. The better term should have perhaps been the stipulated rate that originated with the LECA Plus rate.
And subject to check on your part, would you agree with me that the LECA Plus rate is not 12 and a half?
I was under the understanding that the LECA Plus rate was 12 and a half, that the stipulated rate from that moved it to 11 and a half cents.
I would agree with you that the stipulated rate is 11 and a half, but the LECA Plus is not 12 and a half. But we'll move on. So, you don't know.
Just I'll object to counsel testifying. Move that last comment be stricken. It's not a question.
Sustained.
I believe you told me you don't know what CLEX have the LECA Plus rate. Is that right?
I did, as far as the LECA Plus rates. I believe I know at least a couple of examples of CLEX that have the, or a CLEX that has the stipulated rate
okay,
of 11.5 cents.
And who would that be?
Northern Valley Communications.
And when did they get that rate?
I believe they got that rate about a year ago. As I understood it, it was a stipulated rate, and they were operating under that rate for a certain period of time, which is due to expire in another couple of years.
And do you know what CLEX have the Quest rate?
I have a listing of those, but I don't. They're not top of mind for me.
So, do you have access to that list? To
if you give me just a moment. Would you ask the question again, please?
Certainly. Can you tell us what CLEX have the Quest rate?
That have the Quest rate? Mid-Continent, of course. Aventure has it, partially. Knowledge, Level 3, Comtel, Ionics, NAS, PW.
Would that be Prairie Wave?
Knowledge would be Prairie Wave.
Okay, I didn't know.
I think those are the majority of them that I have on my list. There are some that are very close to that same rate, slightly different, which would include companies like McLeod and Level 3.
At the end of the sentence that I had you read, lines 16 to 18, you state Mid-Continent has been denied. Could you tell me what docket number for that denial you're referring to?
Well, Mid-Continent has been denied by the commission in a docket. I believe that Mid-Continent has been denied any settlements like other companies had settlements through discussions with commission staff.
But staff and Mid-Continent has had numerous discussions regarding settlement. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
So your statement tying together the CLEC approval of rates and the MIDCO denial, that's a misstatement, correct?
Well, denial may have been strong, but our sense was that we have been denied settlement at the same rate levels that other companies have been given a settlement.
And just to interrupt, who issued that denial?
It wasn't necessarily issued.
Okay, that's my question. Thank you. What rate is Medco requesting?
What rate are we requesting?
Correct.
9.8 cents.
Can you tell us what exchanges Medco provides telephony service in?
I don't have the list in front of me. You'd like me to just rattle them off as best I can from recall?
Actually. I'll show you what's been marked for identification purposes as staff's Exhibit 4. Can you identify what that is from?
Well, this is a list of the exchanges where we are providing local exchange service.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but that is from a data request issued by staff to Medco, data request 1-14, and that is the response that Medco provided staff. Is that correct?
That appears to be correct.
Okay. Would you read to us the exchanges listed, and slowly so Sherry doesn't?
I will. Aberdeen, Bath, Belfouche, Big Stone City, Box Elder, Canton, Central City, Deadwood, Ellsworth Air Force Base, Fort Pierre, Harrisburg, Huron, Lead, Madison, McIntosh, Millbank, Miller, Mina, Mitchell, Piedmont, Pierre, Rapid City, Rapid Valley, Redfield, Renner, Sioux Falls, Spearfish, St. Lawrence, Sturgis, T, Vermilion, Warner, Watertown, Wabe, Webster, West Ortonville, Whitewood, Woolsey, and Yankton.
And of those exchanges that you just listed for us, which of those do not use the Quest rate?
Which of these do not use the
right
Quest switched access rates?
Correct, yes. I'm sorry, yes.
I'm not sure that I know. It would be on my understanding that all of them would use the Quest switched access rates.
Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you. Oh, yes. And I would offer Staff Exhibit 4.
No objection.
Staff 4 is admitted. Does that conclude staff's cross-examination?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Mr. Gerdes, maybe I think what I'll do is see if the commissioners have any questions at this point so that you have an opportunity then on redirect to address that.
That'd be
that's
fine.
Okay.
Yes, that's fine.
Commissioners, do you have any questions of Mr. Simmons?
Well, thanks, Mr. Smith. So, Mr. Simmons, I want to make sure in the amended petition for Mid-Continent, you know, first that you seek to mirror switched access rates employed by their CLEC similarly situated in Mid-Continent. In response to a question by Ms. Kramer, you said you're asking for 9.8. Is what Mid-Continent is asking for, has it changed?
Well,
or are you still looking for either?
Well, again, by this petition, we were asking for, I guess when I mentioned the 9.8, that's the number that we were looking at in our settlement discussions. And I apologize for that confusion. This issue has gone on for a very long time, and Ms. Kramer mentioned that there have been numerous discussions with staff, and there truly have. And we're grateful for all the attention staff has, in fact, given this particular issue. When we talked about what our number should be, the 9.8 number is what appeared to be coming up from our discussions and even from some of our cost study analysis. I think what we ask for in all this is parity with the numbers of other CLECs, and that whether it should be called the LECA plus stipulated rate, or I don't know how to actually describe that other than that.
Mr. Simmons, when you use the phrase parity with other CLECs, given that CLECs are, I think we've got some information in the pre-filed testimony that CLECs are charging a variety of different rates, what do you mean by that when you say parity? What number does that represent for you?
Well, again, it isn't a number necessarily on that particular piece. We take a look at where the other CLECs are and what they are charging in those particular areas. And parity can be measured two different ways. When we look at a CLEC, and the example might be in Northern Valley Communications, who is operating with an 11.5-cent switched access rate, I'm not understanding how their costs could possibly be a whole lot different than ours. They operate a very similar system. They distribute their telephone service over a similar tight network and a similar sized town. And it doesn't make sense to me that the costs on their rate should be nearly double ours. So that's a point of parity. And even in the comparison with a large company like Quest Communications, there are advantages in the large system and some economy of scale with that as well. So we have the costs all over the place, different companies with different costs, and frankly, it makes little sense to me, and maybe more importantly, it makes even less sense to our board of directors, who have placed private risk capital in play and are very concerned about that degree of parity. Are we doing the job to cover our costs and obtain the switched access rates that were due?
Mr. Simmons, barring settlement at the end of this proceeding, the commission will have to, you know, select a rate or find some way forward that will lead us to a rate. So I'm just trying to get an idea of when you're asking for parity, if you have a particular switched access rate in mind.
Well, in our discussions, we settled on the 9.8-cent as being a fair price in covering our particular costs. That, frankly, is why we went through the rather extensive and expensive exercise of hiring our consultants, QSI, and putting together a cost model, even though CLECs are not required to do that.
So is Mid-Continent no longer interested in mirroring switched access rates employed by other CLECs similarly situated to Mid-Continent?
Well, that's always I guess that's one way of getting after it. What we're truly interested in is reassurance that we are, in fact, getting a fair deal on the switched access rates in comparison to all the other players. And, we needed to get a handle on all that. That's why we went through the exercise of the company-specific cost analysis.
Mid-Continent seeks to be treated fairly, and I just want to make sure that I understand all of the different scenarios under which the petitioner believes that would be the case. You've stated your cost study-based number of 9.8, you would consider that fair. Would you consider the stipulated rate of 11.5 cents fair?
Well, again, the subject to approval of our cost study, again, we shared that cost study with commission staff back a year ago, last April, in fact, and I don't know that we reassured that anybody had any real interest in our cost study basis. Without that particular cost study in place and under consideration, the only thing that we could do is to ask for a waiver of the cost study and state that we were not able to put together a cost study that would be effective. So we went back originally and asked for a waiver and acceptance of the rates that had been acceptable for others. Very difficult for us to make the case that we didn't have the wherewithal to put together a cost study when, in fact, we put together a cost study. So we've been in this quandary of where to go with all of this for a very long time. And but I think through all of our discussions and as a result of the cost study that we put together, that we felt 9.8 cents was a reasonable switched access charge.
I think we're not quite connecting, and that may be because I'm not asking the question right. In the amended petition, it appears that the Mid-Continent seeks either option A or option B, with option A being to mirror the switched access rate, the number that is charged by other CLECs similarly situated in Mid-Continent. Is it still your employer's representation perspective desire that that be one option that the Commission could take in order to meet the fairness you seek?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Other Commissioner questions of Mr. Simmons? Any questions? Then Mr. Rizlov, I believe, has a question if the Commissioners are done.
I believe you stated you compete in Aberdeen with Northern Valley Communications.
Yes.
And their switched access rate is above yours at this point?
Yes.
Don't you find that to be a competitive advantage for your company in Aberdeen?
Not particularly. Switched access rates, the switched access rate impact on all that is more on other carriers than it is on our particular customers.
Isn't anyone recognizing your switched access rate is lower, though, in choosing to terminate with your company rather than with Northern Valley?
Not really. The termination selection and all that is from a customer standpoint. The bottom line is that customers typically aren't real concerned about what those termination rates might be for long-distance callers that may be calling them.
Thank you.
Any last Commissioner questions? If not, Mr. Gerdes, redirect.
Mr. Simmons, Ms. Kramer took access or took exception with your reference at page 4 of your testimony concerning the denial of certain requested rates. Have other CLECs with which Mid-Continent competes been allowed to charge higher access rates in some of the exchanges in which Mid-Continent competes?
Yes.
And is that one of the reasons that Mid-Continent is here today?
It is.
And when you say you were asked by Ms. Kramer that whether or not a formal denial was issued, and I think you said no, a formal denial was not issued. What did you mean by saying that there was a denial? Where did that come from and under what circumstances?
Well, I believe the term, and again, it may be a harsher term than it perhaps should have been, but it was that over a period of months and months, we have, in fact, been discussing, as I mentioned, with Commission staff. The denial part is the discussion that we've had about acceptable switched access rates. Our recommendations of those rates have been denied by Commission staff. On the other side, they have offered rates to us that really have been denied by us as well. So that's what I meant by denial.
And when you talk about Mid-Continent denying rates, those are rates that you believe were too low?
Still would place us well below the rates of others. That's correct.
You testified that Mid-Continent is a for-profit organization.
It is, yes.
Is there anything wrong with that?
I certainly hope not.
Are you competing with other for-profit organizations?
We are.
Could you name one or more?
I believe that in addition to Quest Communications, there are a number of other CLECs out there, but I also believe that all of the CLECs, whether they are originated with a rural telephone company or a cooperative, at least the CLEC side of that is a for-profit company.
Now, you were asked if it was Mid-Continent's choice to use GAAP accounting, and I think your answer was yes.
Yes.
Is that correct? And why was that choice made?
Again, the only companies, I believe, that don't use GAAP accounting and use the special set of accounts are the long-term incumbent telephone companies. The origin of our company has not been in the ILEC business. It has, in fact, been in the video business and general business categories, where GAAP accounting has, in fact, been the accepted accounting method. It also is the accounting method most acceptable to our bankers. And for a company relying on private risk capital, we must make our bankers happy.
And do you know what GAAP, G-A-A-P, stands for?
Generally Acceptable Accounting Practices.
Okay. Would it be your experience that most for-profit companies follow GAAP accounting as opposed to some other type of accounting?
That's my understanding.
You don't consider Mid-Continent to be unusual in that respect, then? Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, just so there will be other testimony on the subject, but just so we're clear here, there were actually two cost studies over the time that Mid-Continent has been working with staff on the switched access rate question. Would that be correct?
That's correct.
And the first one was one that attempted to come up with a forward-looking model, which it's my understanding, at least, that that's what the FCC would prefer. Would that be correct?
Yes, that's our understanding as well.
And then when that didn't seem to work, you and your advisors, your experts, went back and reinvented the wheel and came up with a cost study that would emulate the accounting that's set forth in the Commission's rules. Would that be correct?
And I would just object that it appears Mr. Gerdes is testifying more in a cross-examination method than is normally found on direct or even redirect.
I did do a lot of testifying there, yes.
Pardon me, I think I get the drift, though. I'm going to overrule it just so we can get this moving here.
You may answer.
That's correct.
And that's the best indication that it was leading when he says yes.
I could offer more details, but usually Dave doesn't want me to offer more details.
Okay. you believe that if the commission moved all CLEX to a low access rate that didn't cover Mid-Continent's costs, would that be fair?
No.
Mr. Johnson asked you about rates. Would Midco be satisfied if CLEX operating in an exchange all charged the same rates?
Well, I think that ultimately would be best, and the key would be that they would be all charging the right rates. That, frankly, is one of the things that triggered our concerns about all this. How can two different companies, presumably offering similar services in a similar manner, have such a wide variety or a great variance in the rates? I think had we not seen that situation, we frankly wouldn't be here today.
And, of course, one answer could be competition, could it not?
Well, I think when push comes to shove, market forces are always best in taking care of all of these issues. And switched access is a little different animal, however.
Sure. And when I'm asking rates, I'm talking about the total package. Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Would it be correct that Mid-Continent would like to be able to charge the same access charges as the other CLECs with which it competes?
And,
yes.
And again, when his attorney is asking a whole question and he merely says yes, one of them is testifying and one of them isn't. So I would object.
I'm going to sustain that.
Can you tell me whether or not Mid-Continent would be able to, would be happy to be able to charge the same access charges as other CLECs with which it competes?
We would. We would like to be on a parity level with all of the costs. So at least we have a fair chance of proving the value of our services based on things most important to our customers, by offering a real value, by offering a variety of services, by offering quality customer services, but not have to work out from under a burden where one company may have an advantage over another because of reduced costs.
Are there instances when Mid-Continent operates or sells services that are not necessarily over Mid-Continent's network?
There are some limited cases of that. There may be cases where we have customers who are outside of our immediate area where we would be able to take advantage of a resale opportunity in order to provide the service to customers. There also may be some network issues. There may also be some private access issues. But for the most part, we've worked very hard to try to provide services to our customers on our own facilities so that we can control the quality of services that we provide.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Kramer, do you have any follow-up questions?
The staff has nothing. Thank you.
Any final commission questions?
Mr. Simmons, I don't know if it was in your direct, but does Mid-Continent have a lot of experience doing cost studies for something like this?
We have none.
And the first cost study you did came in at, I think, was it 19.8 or something like that? Well, what did the first cost study come in at? Do you remember?
I don't recall the exact number, but it was quite high.
Okay. Again, I'm just sort of looking toward, you know, possible commission decisions. I mean, if this commission decided that cost-based rate was most appropriate for Mid-Continent, do you believe the cost study that we have in front of us is sufficient for the commission to be able to say that that's the right rate?
The original TELREC cost study?
The 9.8, the revised.
What we did in that particular cost study is the best we possibly could, using the differences between the accounting system that most telephone companies use and, ironically, the the cost model was based on that style of accounting. And at substantial expense and time, we mapped those numbers to that model as best we could to come up with that rate. I don't know if that's the best model to be used. It's the only model that we really had, which is why, frankly, in our discussions, and I may have misunderstood what the original intent was of the rulemaking proceeding, but since 2005, we've been always interested in where that particular rulemaking proceeding might go to take a look at all this in so many other areas, and some of the things I think even wrestled with at the federal level is how do we go from all the models and systems that were designed to accommodate ILEX and a monopoly-type operation to a point where we can accommodate such things as CLEX and different styles of operation that may be, in fact, square pegs that we're trying to put into round holes.
Given your stated uncertainty about whether or not your current cost model is, quote, the best model, and given Mid-Continent's the lack of familiarity with doing these cost studies, and given the fact that the first cost study was more than double what the revised cost study, do you believe the Commission should have any confidence in the 9.8 rate and the revised cost study?
The confidence I think the Commission should have, if there's any confidence in the rate model at all, is in the job that we did in mapping those numbers over. I don't know of another CLEC that has done that. Even in within the industry, I've not run across anyone who has, in fact, done that. It's not been an issue for most companies. I don't know that most have seen the disparity in rates with direct competitors that we've seen. But a lot of companies, when they say they do not have the expertise, they do not have the money for a cost study like that, I think are accurate. It was a big commitment on the part of our company. One that we owe a degree of explanation to, I think, to our board of directors, who truly want to make sure that we are, in fact, not being taken advantage of on the one hand, but we also are very concerned that we do the right thing as well. We're not looking to grab money that isn't our position at all. It's not our style. We are really working hard, I think, to do the right thing. And that would not have been the case. I think we can demonstrate that, frankly, by the length of time we've been dealing with this issue and the number of discussions that we've maintained with Commission staff.
In your response to Mr. Gertis's redirect, I want to back up and put it this way. I think I heard you articulate two desires that I think may be in conflict with one another. So I just want you to let me know if I'm wrong. Did you indicate that you were interested in having rates that would allow Mid-Continent sufficient cost recovery for its operations on the switch to access side?
Yes, I think that's always the case, or at least get closer to recovery of those costs.
Did you articulate an interest in having Mid-Continent be able to receive the same switched access rates, the nominal, the number that its competitors in those markets are charging?
Yes, I said that. It's very difficult for us to take a look again at a competitor that is getting a much higher rate on switched access when, in fact, we are direct competitors that we are, in fact, operating in a similar manner. It's hard to justify why a lower rate is acceptable for us and not acceptable for them.
Okay, thanks very much.
Are there any other commissioner questions? Commissioner Colbeck.
When you say you want to be treated similar to other CLECs, would you consider yourself, would Mid-Continent be happy with being in the majority? In other words, if 79% of the other CLECs got a certain rate, would you be happy in being in the majority?
Well, again, there's a, you know, I'm not sure. That would be a really simple statement. When it comes down to a majority, even when I take a look at the list as presented by Ms. Kramer of the, I guess it was my list of all the CLECs, there's a goodly number of CLECs listed there that do very little business in South Dakota. There's a goodly number of those that we frankly don't compete with. I'm not sure exactly where they compete. There are a certain number of those that are CLECs that are business providers only. If they are in fact listed into, given the same weight as some of the other CLECs, it would have limited impact on us. I'm most concerned with the CLECs who we are competing directly with. The folks who send intrastate long-distance calls to us, terminate on our particular network, and vice versa. It'd be wonderful if we had a bill-and-keep situation. It would all go away, but that simply is not going to happen.
Any last commissioner questions? Or Mr. Rizlov, do you have anything? Do you have any final follow-up, Mr. Gerdes, in response to the commissioner's questions?
Just one topic, if I may. And you were asked about what I'll call the second cost study, and questions about whether or not it was effective or accurate or whatever it might be. Why did you hire QSI to do this cost study?
Well, we hired QSI because clearly we did not have the expertise. We did not have the time to do this cost study. And frankly, I'm not sure that having not done one, it would be clearly recognized by, I'm sure, the commissioners, that it would be highly questionable if we had tried to put together a homegrown cost study. That's why we went to QSI, a consulting firm that's recognized as experts in this particular field, used not only by companies doing the studies, but by a number of other commissions. So when we start talking about the technicalities of the cost study and the details, even mapping to the current model, I would defer to the QSI experts to explain how that was done and even why a company like ours would use a company like theirs.
And I take it then that it was their reputation for knowledge in this area, among other things, that caused Midcontinent to hire them?
Yes, it was.
Is that a fair? Thank you. That's all I have.
Commissioner Colbeck, do you have a follow-up question?
I just have one, Mr. Senator. Do you have just the one switch in South Dakota?
We have two, actually. We have one, a master switch in Sioux Falls, and for your benefit, Commissioner Colbeck, it's a DMS500/CS2000.
I knew that.
Combination digital switch and voice over IP. We also have a secondary switch in Aberdeen.
In Aberdeen. Okay, mm-hmm. I didn't know about that one. Thank you.
Thank you.
No further questions.
Ms. Kramer, did you have any follow-up to the commissioner's questions?
Staff has nothing. Thank you.
Any final questions? Commissioner Johnson? No? Okay. Thank you. You're excused, Mr. Simmons.
Thank you.
Is it the pleasure of the commission to take a 5-minute break, or do you want to forge immediately ahead? I do not.
Take a 5-minute.
Thank you.
I can take these two steps.